podcast.
Hello, Susan.
I'm already silent laughing.
I know, it's great. I love it. I caught you mid-giggle. Mid-gig.
Sarah's already being hilarious.
Yeah, I'm in a good mood this week, actually.
I can tell. I'm so glad.
It's better. I was in a not-so-good mood the last few weeks.
Yeah.
You know, tough times.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about them? Or do you want
to... I do want to talk about it.
Let's
Is
do
that,
it.
Like, right away?
Oh,
we're
my
just going to dive in?
Jump in?
Oh, my Lord.
Or you can talk about the rattlesnake first. You want to pick which...
Oh, my God. Which trauma? First, I'll talk about the rattlesnake.
Let's hear
so
it.
Yesterday
I made Sarah wait to tell
yes,
me.
Yes, I didn't even tell her. She was like, no, I have to wait till I record it. So yesterday I was on a hike with my husband in our backyard. Like, no joke, the trailhead is 50 yards from our house.
Wow.
And
that's scary as heck.
We were talking. As soon as we walk out on this trail, they recently replaced this sign that's right at the beginning of the trail that says caution and has a picture of a rattlesnake on it. And they recently replaced it. And, like, because I guess the old one was getting
old.
No,
they're like, it's fine.
Then they just put a new one. And Landon made a comment, was like, wow, the rattlesnake in this new sign looks much more deadly and vicious. And it totally does. It looks like
it had bigger fangs?
Yes. It looks way scarier. I'm going to take a picture and post it when this when this airs. So, you know, then we continue on our hike. And we have our two dogs with us. And they're, like, off the leash and running around doing their thing. And we've walked all the way up the hill. We're walking back. And Landon, surprisingly calm for him being a non-outdoorsy person, was like, stop, Bo, stay back. And in front of us, no joke, maybe 4 feet in front of him, like, had the dog been in front, I don't know what could have happened.
Yeah.
A humongous rattlesnake crosses our path. I have never seen one. I've seen one dead in real life, but I've never had one. I've been in nature a bajillion times and always lived in rattlesnake country. This was so scary.
What was it doing?
It was
sitting
just
there?
Chill. No, it crossed the street. Like,
it crossed the
path.
Street.
Yes. Like, went, like, we saw the entire length of its body, and it was long enough to where when it was, it stretched the full length of the trail.
Right.
Like, its head was gone, its tail was in the bushes, but the whole body was in the middle still. And I was like, when is it going to end? And then I was like, what?
It's
like, how long is this thing? You know, it felt like one of the magic scarves. And I was just like, where's the end of this thing? It's so scary. And then
did you see the tail?
Yes. And that part was up.
What's that mean?
I don't know, but nothing good. So I'm like freaking out. I'm not freaking out. I'm like, just like, oh my God. My toes are all curled. And I go to walk backwards because I'm like, stomp your feet. That's what you're supposed to do to scare them off the trail because they think there's something big.
Are you kidding me?
I swear, you have to stomp your feet. As I'm doing that, in the bushes, I hear another rattle. I'm like, we've got to get out of here.
It's like Indiana Jones.
It felt like that. I was like, snakes, why do you have to be snakes?
Wait, did you?
I was so surprised at my husband's ability to stay calm in that.
Yeah, very impressive.
I mean, wow.
Wait, so the second one that you heard, it was a rat. Like, you heard the rattle?
I heard the rattle. And it definitely wasn't from the first one that was now crossed the street.
Sarah.
I know. So Landon was like, do not tell people this story because nobody's going to want to go on hikes with us anymore.
No way. I will never.
I knew you were going to say that.
Sarah, that's why I stay at home and don't ever leave the house.
That's why you're moving to not my neighborhood.
And if I do want to work out, which I do, I use Beachbody.
Like a sane human being.
This is what you deal with when you go out. Rattlesnakes.
Don't leave the house. It's much safer in your living room with Beachbody.
Honest to God, I would be in the hospital right now. Or
from heart
my
attack?
Grave. Yes.
Oh, yeah. But not from a rattlesnake.
That
bite.
Is why, thank you for reminding me that everyone needs to try Beachbody because you can work out at home free from
rattlesnakes. No rattlers.
Or if you're at a hotel or wherever you are, you just put it on your phone or your laptop, your iPad, anything like that. And they have all the different levels of intensity from P90X, Insanity. I use the 21-day fix. I do the 3-week yoga retreat. They have hip-hop abs, which I think Sarah should do. You love that.
I know. I've always wanted to do that.
You should try that one and see how it is.
Is that a new addition?
It must be, because I've never seen that one. Oh, my gosh. What if we did it together?
When that first came out, I wanted to do it. I saw the infomercial. I was like, I wish I'd buy this.
That looks fun.
Yeah.
It is such a great deal because you can get access to every kind of workout that your heart desires. basically, it's on your computer. So you set it up, you do as much or as little as you want. And I like that service because it's convenient and I don't have to deal with rattlesnakes. And right now our listeners get a special free trial membership when you text Brain Candy, which is all one word, no spaces, to 303030. You'll get full access to the entire platform for free, all the workouts, the nutrition information, and support totally free. Again, just text Brain Candy to 303030. I've been trying to get Sarah to join me. She's still like dragging her feet on the trail out there.
No, I'm back on the wagon. I'm back on the fitness wagon. And I'm just supplementing with walks up.
That's good. You know,
somebody's got to walk the dog.
No, you can do
for
both.
For Christ's sake. The dog's got to get exercise too. Can you imagine Sigmund doing
beach
doing hip hop abs? He needs it more than any of us, really.
That's a good point. And I want our listeners to do it with me too. We can hold each other accountable and have some fun. Anyway, okay, so
Bo
you're...
seems more like a P90X.
Bo's like me. She would do like yoga.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know,
she's
stuff
relaxed
like that.
Like that.
Okay, so...
Yeah.
And your husband saves the day.
Yeah.
Bo...
By saves the day, I mean he stands there and holds people back.
That's all
which
I
is
need.
All we needed.
And...
This makes up for the last episode because he was not happy when he heard the episode about me calling him out driving the car and how he had ran other vehicles into the dirt. He was like, that was one time. The other time I was just bad with the gears. I was like, okay, point proven.
Poor Landon. We thought that he wasn't listening anymore and we could say whatever we wanted.
Right, but turns out he is.
Well, hey, thanks for listening,
so
Landon.
You were quite a stud. Honey,
yes. Well, and so you just carried on and that was it.
Carried on. But my adrenaline was at, I'm probably still coming down from it right now.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's, did you feel like
I told him, I was like,
danger?
Damn. No.
Why?
That's
weird.
I felt like I was in danger when I heard the other one in the bushes. That was when I was like.
Because it was like a nest or
well,
something.
That's what I thought. I was like, well, and then what I thought is, oh my God. If they just changed the sign, that means that they were probably getting a lot of reports of it. So they felt like they needed to,
you're probably right.
Right? Because what, so that, I think that there's a, I feel like there, and then I asked Landon, what animal eats rattlesnakes? Because I feel like there's a disruption in the ecosystem. If we have enough rattlesnakes to where they have to put caution signs and we saw one.
Yeah.
That. I think that there's something. So we were like, we need to get more birds of prey. What are we going to do to get more? What do we do?
Birds of prey.
We need some, I don't know. What eats some falcons?
That
or,
is a really good
what
point.
What eat rattlesnake?
Well, and some people shoot them. Do they eat them?
They definitely aren't shooting them in Kodo. I mean, we have a lot of Republicans who are all about the Second Amendment rights, but they're not shooting rattlesnakes.
Wow. Well, you were very brave. I'm glad you're okay.
I am too.
I do want to hear about your other trauma as well and how you're doing.
I feel
doing.
Like I'm just going to be chatting this whole time.
Good.
Then.
You haven't chatted much lately.
That is true.
I don't know if anyone's noticed, but I've been doing overtime over here. Like, I read another article.
Oh, yeah.
No, tell me the truth. What's going on?
Yeah, so we a while back we talked about having a big surprise on the show.
Yes.
But then we were like, oh, we have a different surprise because the surprise was going to be that I'm pregnant.
Right.
And that was really
so
exciting. And it was great. And it was so hard to keep my mouth shut. But then I got another surprise when I went in for my first ultrasound at 12 weeks that the baby that didn't have a heartbeat. So no more baby. And I had a miscarriage. And that was really hard.
Terrible.
So a different kind of surprise, but not the best kind. And I think for the first time in my entire life, I felt sorrow. Like I had felt grief before. I felt grief. I knew what grief was because my grandma died. And grief is kind of like.
You felt loss.
Yeah. I felt loss. Like you expect it. You know it's coming. You can rationalize it. That's like grief, you know?
Yes.
But then this was an experience that I had never, I didn't know what this feeling was.
Wow.
And Landon was the one who said this. I think what you're feeling, he kind of made that connection. He's like, you felt grief. This is sorrow. Cause there's no, it's like, what is it for? There's no, you know, you can't explain it away. I mean, you can be like, okay, well there's something chromosomally abnormal with the baby. And so your body does what it's supposed to do, which is terminate the pregnancy so that it can, you can only have healthy babies. And, you know, but your body doesn't like communicate that to your emotional side.
Absolutely not.
At all. So what was really traumatizing for me was that the baby stopped growing at about 9 weeks and I didn't find out till 12 weeks. And so I felt like a coffin.
Yeah.
And that I was like loving and romanticizing something that had been dead inside me was like, and I, a trigger warning to all, and like apologize to all those.
Yeah, maybe I'll add this. One before, I'll edit it in.
But I think it's, I was thinking that, I'm like, do I talk about this or do I not?
And absolutely.
I said, absolutely I should, because nobody ever talked to me about this.
Yeah.
I mean, I have like two friends who ever mentioned this to me, and the doctor was like, oh, it's so common. It happens all the time. Almost every woman goes through this. Da, da, da. And I had to have something called a DNC, which is where like I was far enough along in my pregnancy to where my body wasn't naturally getting rid of it. And it was too dangerous for me to just keep that inside without my body. Like they said, my mind wasn't convinced that I wasn't pregnant, but my body
well,
was.
Well, that's perfectly Sarah.
I know. You're like, that's
no,
what
I'm
I said.
So
I was
stubborn.
Like, this is so typical of my body.
Like, where your mind's like, nope, I'm having this baby.
Right. It's like, I don't care what's going on. We are doing it.
Yeah.
And it, that's why it wouldn't catch up. So that's why, like, for a long time, it's like if your body thinks you're pregnant or your mind thinks you're pregnant, your body will be like, okay.
We're keeping this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I had to have something called a DNC. And I had never, ever, ever heard of that. Not once. I never heard of that.
Wow.
And I am so knowledgeable and in touch and, you know, like educated on all
medical
like,
fields.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like sexual reproduction health. I'm in freaking sex therapy class and no one has ever mentioned this word before ever. I was like, wow, this really is like the last taboo of what we're not able to talk about, you know, where, and I was like, God, I have to talk about this because this was like so much more upsetting than I thought it was going to be. It was like, in my mind, I can understand why it happened. I can understand that it's common. I can understand even that this was hard, that it's not my fault. But, you know, I was like thinking maybe I took baths that were too hot and like,
oh,
you know, like
wow.
You name it. I was like thinking everything. Like oh, I painted my nails with nail polish and there's formaldehyde in that. And maybe that, you know, like, ugh. So that was, even though I could rationalize and say, okay, it's not your fault. It's, you know, this is science and, you know, this happens all the time. My emotional side could not understand what was going on. And it just felt like I had an itch I couldn't scratch, like a feeling that wouldn't go away and nothing. And I mean nothing that used to bring me joy brought me any kind of joy
mm-hmm.
for like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Not a thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the only thing that felt better was going to the comedy festival with Susie.
That was fun.
That was the only thing where and it felt so good to laugh. I felt like those were kind of like resets where I'm like, oh, right, I do, you know, I stopped working out.
It's
you
like
probably
you're...
noticed it in past episodes where I was like,
yeah,
depressy.
You were a shell of yourself.
Yeah.
Like I knew you were still in there somewhere, but it was like you were gone.
Yeah. Well, that's how I felt. And then I was like, oh my God, am I ever going to feel
right.
not like that? And then that made me even more, you know, and it was just, it was really hard. But there is a light at the end of the tunnel, which is kind of the
well, tell me how you feel now.
I feel better. You know, I feel like what really helped was moving my body.
Yeah.
Was like being around friends too. Like I was like really wanted to be alone for a long time.
Sure.
And because you kind of have to be.
Yeah.
And nobody's going to understand and there's nobody who's going to tell you, you
well,
know.
Some people might always want to be with somebody. Some people
yes.
might want to be alone.
Totally true. Totally
yeah.
true. Like my husband's the kind of person who would always want to be with somebody. And I'm the person who's like, we're like introverts and extroverts. I'm like, I just want to be alone.
Yeah.
And then I was just over every, you know, I didn't want anybody to tell me I'm sorry again. Cause I'm like, I know what you're going to say. And then I'm going to say this. And I'm like, I had
a
whole
script. Yeah.
And I would always say, and this is the analogy that I still think is the most accurate, is that it feels like I applied to Harvard and then told everybody that I was going to Harvard and then bought the Harvard sweatshirt and then got an apartment next to Harvard and was so excited and then got a letter saying I didn't get in.
Yeah.
And I have to go back and be like, oh, remember that sweatshirt I bought?
Yeah.
Now, you know, because I like bought stuff, you know, I got the nursery. I'm not ready, but I got it all cleaned out and I, you know, bought baby hangers because they were on sale on Amazon. And like, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But, and start like visualizing it. And you
that's the more.
That's the thing. It's like we romanticize it so much.
From the moment you find out, a lot of people then shift their entire vision of what their life will look like.
Yeah.
And it isn't even conscious.
No.
It's just what you do. And part of that comes from the way that we talk about like getting pregnant in the first place and how the expectation that you should have a family. Mm-hmm. When are you guys having a baby? When are you having a baby? It's just what we do as a society.
Right.
So then when you finally get that benchmark, then you're like, okay, now I have answers. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have a baby right now. Mm-hmm. And that's all I'm going to think about and talk about for a long, long time.
And I have friends who are pregnant, who like got pregnant at the exact same time. So we're going to have like similar due dates. So we're like going through this together and we're all talking about it and blah, blah, blah. And then it's like, oh, those really exciting conversations that I got to be a part of and had so much fun on the group text. Like, you know,
were you removed?
I mean, I like nobody's texted me. I think I was removed from those.
So it's like,
oh damn, that sucks. You know,
that does.
Cause it makes you feel even more isolated, but like you feel just alone. Like, oh, you combine that with the, you know, how we don't really talk about it or, you know, it feels, I don't know. It's just a weird place.
Yeah, it's such an intimate thing. Yeah. I understand why we don't talk about it.
Right. Because I'm sure everybody's journey through this is totally different.
Yeah, and it's a private thing, and some people might want to talk about it, and other people might never want to share that ever.
And some people need things like something like a sort of a ceremony or something almost spiritual or you know, to kind of like close the chapter of that,
sure.
You know, which I got advice to do and some, you know, cause they said that worked for them. Yeah. So I think that there's, you know, there are just so many ways that people can heal and you kind of have to find your own.
Right.
And you know,
well,
but now I see pregnant women freaking everywhere. I saw like 5 at the wine event and I was like, why are so many pregnant women? Why are there only pregnant women at the wine event?
Right.
And I was like,
what a waste.
I said, Landon, did you see how many pregnant women are here? He goes, I literally have seen not one. So it's like one of those things they call the red car phenomenon.
Yeah.
Where like you don't ever see red cars and then you buy a red car and all of a sudden everybody drives one.
Yeah.
And so it's like that.
Yeah. Other thing is that I think people in general, we know this about social media, and when you have the situation that we do where we're often promoting our work and stuff and we post pretty pictures and people think you have it all.
Right.
Right? You have a wonderful life. You have a beautiful home and your husband and you're going to school. And so then there can be this impression that nothing bad ever happens to you. Mm-hmm. And then something bad happens. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, how do I share this? Mm-hmm. And what's the appropriate thing?
Even in how my attitude was over the past month, you know, people kind of listen to me on the podcast and they're expecting me to be very like joyful and bubbly.
Which you still were. I really admired how you carried on.
Mm, thank you. But, you know, so there were a lot of people who were like, oh, you just really aren't yourself. And I'm like, I know I'm not myself.
Did people say that you knew or strangers?
Both.
No.
Well, no, people that knew me. Okay. But didn't know the situation.
Like okay.
People, and both. People who did know the situation and didn't were all like, you're just not like yourself. And I'm like, well, this just happened. They're like, oh, I know. You know, I'm like, well, if you know.
Are you kidding me?
That, honest to God, happened with.
Tell me about that. Because that's the stuff I want to talk.
Oh, my God.
So he said, you don't seem like yourself. And you're like, yeah, I just went through a miscarriage. And he was like, yeah, but what else?
No, he said, he's like, oh, yeah, I know. You know, Landon told me. And then he told me about how his wife had three.
But
and
then why the fuck is he saying?
Told me I need to basically snap out of it. Like, whoa, well, we need Sarah. The old Sarah back and blah, 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 blah.
Oh,
like
that's inconvenient for him.
Thank you. This is what my argument was. This is what I got angry at. For 3 weeks, when anytime my husband was like, he was being so nice, but he'd be like, you know, hey.
Trying to live his life.
Yeah, trying to live his life. And he's like, maybe you can like say that to me nicer. And I'm like, maybe you can just shut it because you didn't just have dead parts scraped out from the inside of you. Okay? It was like a lot of those things.
Definitely going to have to put a trigger warning earlier in this. Yeah.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Because when you came, so I don't know if this will be something you, I don't know. I don't know what to say.
Yeah.
But yeah. You texted me the day that you found out. Mm-hmm. I happened to be at that moment filming a 15 minutes of blame with Marie. Mm-hmm. And my phone was in front of me and your message came through. And, you know, I have a very specific style of interviewing. Mm-hmm. And I forgot that that's how I found out. And then I was editing the video and getting it prepared. And I saw this moment on screen that looked like it almost looked like my side of the screen had frozen. And I was staring at the screen, but you could see that something went wrong.
Yeah.
And I was processing what I had just read, but I knew I couldn't stop the interview.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
And I was just like, really just, it was really strange to watch it back. Mm-hmm. It was how we watch ourselves on TV and then you see like how you react to stuff.
And then you think about it twice. Yeah.
And it was really bizarre and terrible. And so then we didn't see each other for a few days. And then when you bebopped in here, just like you always do, I'm like giving you a hug and whatever. And you were like, it's fine. It's fine. My body just had to do it. And I was like, what are you doing right now?
I was like, the show must go on.
And I'm sure there were different stages, right?
Oh, for sure.
Okay. So it is like the grief thing.
Yeah.
Where at first you're like, go into survival mode or... I don't know.
I'm just trying to like justify it. You know, you're like, okay, this had, you know, it's not like denial, but it's like a detachment from the emotional side of it, but just being aware of the, like not, what's the opposite of emotional? The more like rational. Yeah. More like I could intellectualize it, but I couldn't understand the emotional components to it.
And then we, in the meantime, had recorded some episodes and I had to go through them and edit them. And some of the references were so brief that I missed them. Mm-hmm. And then people started speculating and other people were mad that people were speculating, like saying that it's triggering, that all you guys want to talk about is whether Sarah's pregnant or not when these people can't get pregnant.
Right.
And I see it all now, but I don't know a lot of the answers because when people say, are you going to have a baby? Mm-hmm. The intention is that they just want to rejoice with you and celebrate whatever your plans are, especially because babies are generally something we celebrate.
Yeah. And they're real fun and real cute.
But other people that struggle with fertility don't want you to ask because that's hurtful. Mm-hmm. Because if someone's not doesn't have a baby, it's either because A, they don't want one, or B, they're having trouble or can't have one.
Right.
And so there's really not a good reason to ask, right?
Right.
So we just shouldn't.
I also realized that the time, like when somebody decides to tell the world is really important. And like, you know, we were just like so excited and I decided I'm not going to tell anybody till week 12. And then, you know, I'm not blaming him. I shared, you know, with people too. But my husband was like, everybody is finding out about this, you know, and was excited to tell people. And he should be. But then there was just like this, I didn't want to have to do any of the untelling, you know? So like I made him do that.
What did he have to do? Like
he sent a text message to people.
A group?
Yeah. Like, hey, listen, I think I think he called some people, but.
Oh, man.
Because I couldn't tell.
Tell
people. That's the heart. And I don't want to be the one to deliver that news. It's like, I don't want to deal with that.
Wow.
So I'll just say it on a podcast to everybody.
Well, I think I really appreciate you sharing it because there's a lot of people that struggle. It's a touchy subject that maybe we should talk about more.
Yeah, I think so.
And I don't know, maybe we could share how you want to handle it moving forward. Like, anytime you have news, you'll let us know.
Yes, I will. Well, so it was, it's, they say that you can start trying, you know, it's a good time to try now because my hormone levels are like still, that was another thing that I have to share is like really upsetting about it is that my body still thought I was 3 months pregnant. So your body acts like, you know, you put on weight in certain areas, your boobs get all weird, your skin breaks out, but then there's no baby in there. I went to go get a facial, like my husband took me to Palm Springs and we had a little spa weekend, like the right before
the Ferrari
I went into surgery.
Weekend.
The Ferrari weekend, hence why I was so tense in that Ferrari. And right before I went in for surgery, and this woman's like giving me a facial and she's like, oh, wow, you're super hormonal in your, you know, chin
Fuck
area.
Off.
And I was like, oh, I know. But then I didn't want to say to her like, well, it was because I was pregnant, but now I'm not pregnant. Like, you know, I'm like, just like, ugh, I know,
yeah,
you know. And so it's like a reminder. And so I like my body was just puffy and bloated and the anesthesia made me really bloated. And I just felt like to emotionally feel disconnected from your body and like your body, you know, betrayed you, and then to physically feel like, who the hell's body is this? You know, when it changes and there's a baby in there, you're like, oh, this is fine. This is all for the kid. Like, this is all part of the process.
Right.
But when it changes and there's no reward at the end, at the finish line, it's basically like doing a final challenge and leaving with no money. You're like, what the hell? I just went through all that and I get, there's not even a consolation prize.
Yeah.
There's just a bunch of, you know,
yeah,
crap.
I know that our listeners will be so supportive and lift you up and encourage you, if that's any consolation.
I know they will. And hopefully they can be like, yeah, me too. Because then as soon as I started sharing with people, like people would say, hey, you know, how's everything going? Because they also knew I was really sick. I mean, for goodness sakes, I had to withdraw from school, from the practicum, so I wasn't in the clinic anymore at school. And I basically lost an entire semester of school, and then I couldn't get financial aid because I was under the amount of units because I'm a part-time student. So this baby cost me a lot of money.
You know what?
And it didn't
That's
even come
another
to fruition.
Thing is, during your pregnancy and after, I noticed a lot of unfair policies that overwhelmingly affect women because of the pregnancy stuff that in academia even.
Well, I was happy because they changed all of that to work with me.
I know. I
Thank
appreciate
God.
That. I just
but
feel
I'm in
bad
a female,
for... Yeah, I feel bad for...
Yeah, female... What do they call it? Majority female.
Yeah.
Female-dominated, you know, right. Everything you're saying. Susie, take my words. Talk
well,
for me.
Well, I love you.
Yeah, I love you too, Susie.
And I am really proud
We just did
that,
a little hand hug, guys.
Yeah, we did a hand hug. I just think that you are really strong and...
Thanks.
I just wish you... All good
it
things.
Helps to have a supportive tribe and people like you who say, you know, I'm here for you and things like that because that feels good.
Yeah.
And one of the girls from my cohort called me last night and like we talked for like half an hour and she's like, we just feel like you're withdrawing and we just want to make sure that you know, don't feel isolated and we're all here for you and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And
I mean,
was like, that feels so good. So shout out to Tana. Thank you.
All my, like my sister and my friends that my friend Kelly, like.
They were so sweet.
They were, it was like. I was almost like, excuse me, what, this would be about me. But, yeah, they were just like, aww. Really, everyone loves you. And, you know, you're such a light in the world. So when you're down, it's like,
lighthouse,
guys,
went out. Ships are going to crash.
We have a problem here. The only happy one in the group is not happy. Red alert.
I watched a lot of the movie Inside Out.
Yeah.
It's so helpful. Aww. And I realized, you know how in that movie she has... The different islands, like the silliness island, or like the different lands.
Yeah.
And then as she gets depressed, they crash and crumble. That's what anhedonia, which is not deriving any pleasure from your normal activities, is. That's what it is.
Yeah.
And that's what it feels like. And that's what it was. It was like all those like little islands of joy that I had that were, you know. Being silly was one for me. Like when we, Land and I went to Cambria and Pebble Beach Food and Wine just this past weekend, and it felt like a reset. And like for the first time I got to be, I was like silly again. And he was like, oh, I'm so glad you're being like silly. And
it is,
you know,
a lot of pressure though when you are that person, because I am that person in groups too, when you really do not feel like being that way. And It's just real inconvenient for the rest of the
people. Totally, because they're like, we used to go to this, we used to defer to her for
yeah,
the...
Yeah, dance, monkey, dance.
Right, it's just totally like that. So there was a dinner at somebody's house one of the nights at Pebble Beach, and I just straight up told Landon, I was like, I just don't want to go.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and it's the first time I've ever vocalized, like, I'll just, you know, suck it up and go, because it's, you know, part of the schmoozing biz, but... I was like, well, nope, I ain't going.
One of the things that Sarah couldn't handle during her pregnancy was certain smells.
Oh, not at all.
Luckily, she can now.
Yes.
So we got her hooked up with some perfume.
Oh, I'm so excited.
And it is such a cool service. It's called Scentbird.
All my scents.
Scentbird is a luxury fragrance subscription service. And I'm like a perfume junkie.
Uh-huh.
And so when I found out about this, I was like, oh, we have to get
different
this.
Scents for different seasons.
Yeah.
Is it nighttime time for sexy scent or morning, daytime, like citrusy, fun, energizing scent? Hello.
Right. You can choose a new scent every month. They have over 450 designer brands. You choose your fragrance, get a new scent. And then they have sleek travel spray that lasts 30 days or more, which I friggin' love.
I love. That's the best size. Try all of them.
Yeah. And I am really into... taking travel with perfume, and it's really a challenge.
Because you can't, they're right at that size where you can't bring them in the full
right.
size, so you got to get the small ones.
Here's what's cool, the different perfumes you can try, and that way you can find out what you like as well, too, because you know how, like, you get a huge thing, and you're like,
Or it smells good, but then you try it on, it doesn't smell good on you.
It's so funny, because we were just talking about White Diamonds, how that was, like, the scent. These have always brought me luck. I went with some Tom Ford.
Me too.
Did you?
Yes.
I didn't even notice that.
Suze, I got both Tom Fords because they're so good.
I freaking love that. And you have, like, normally you get a perfume and it sits on your shelf for like 10 years and you're like, well, that looks pretty, but like, why am I not using this?
Yeah.
So this is a way to circumvent that problem. We love Scentbird.com. You guys have to try it. Scentbird.com/braincandy. Use our code braincandy for 50% off.
Holy guacamole.
That's only $7.50 for your first month and free shipping. That's Scent, S-C-E-N-T, bird.com/braincandy. And use the code braincandy for 50% off your first month. You can date a perfume before you commit to it forever.
Ooh, it does feel like that.
I love dating
perfumes. I like
how
they have on the website, like, if you like this scent, you'll also like da-da-da-da.
Yes.
Because I want ones that are in that scent fan, you know.
Me too. I have a specific style I like.
Yes.
And they have men's, women's, all kinds of stuff. Okay. Can we move on from talking about you?
I mean, for goodness sakes, please.
That's the thing. You aren't even that type of person that's like always wants to share private stuff. Okay, wait. I had something that I wanted to open with because it was so hilarious. Let me find it. Oh my God.
Yeah. Oh my God. This is so fun.
You know our friend Caleb Wild who wrote the book about...
Yeah, of course I do. What did he just tag you in? I feel like I just read something too. What is this?
A woman was embalmed. Alive.
Right. Can you please fill me in on the details of that?
Caleb Wild is the guy that wrote Confessions of a Funeral Director.
Which is one of the most phenomenal books I've ever read. It's so good, in fact, that I bought it for my crisis professor, the crisis management therapy professor.
Well, and he even has a section
of
the book.
You need to read this about grief.
About miscarriages. He includes that in the book. You should reread that.
I should. I think I borrowed your copy.
Oh, you can borrow it again.
Okay, I think I need
because he says, you know, how that's a forgotten... and not talk about... Yeah, okay.
This is great.
Okay.
Full circle, man. Meant to be.
So he posted on Twitter this article about a woman who went in for routine surgery.
Shut up. I didn't know it was for routine... What?
Yeah, just like a regular old no big whoop surgery. And I don't know what happened. And it wasn't in the U.S. But... they accidentally put the liquid that you use to embalm someone into her drip.
What happened?
Death.
Of course it did. Of course it did.
But not just death, like terrible, Like, the even Caleb was like, this, we can only hope she was unconscious for the whole thing.
Oh!
Because of the way it works and what it does to you.
How does it work?
It basically rips your insides apart. Holy fuck. And, I mean...
What's in embalming fluid?
It's one of those words that ends in hide, like formaldehyde, but it's not formaldehyde. And it freezes everything and rips it apart until you're dead. But you're not, obviously, most people aren't doing it when they're alive.
This is going to sound even more traumatic because we've already been like,
I know. Why are we like, so
we
dark?
We made
today?
Everybody raw and then we just poured salt in the wounds.
I'm so sorry.
It's okay. I have here talk about Katy Perry's scented jelly sandals.
I saw those on Instagram.
So I'm so glad we have a little bit of candy to balance out.
Christ almighty, I am so sorry.
This dying, decrepit, rotting brain.
Well, I just, okay. Like, you know that thought of, like, that's my worst nightmare?
Yes.
I mean.
Well, dude, when I went in for the surgery, it was the first time I've had surgery after we had that talk on here about the people who don't go to sleep.
You did, though, right?
So, yeah, and it was awesome. And, like, it was, like, the best. But then I woke up and I just cried for, like, an hour, which was weird because I think I was just
Oh, Sarah,
raw.
You didn't tell me that. Jeez.
And I was, like, by myself. It was before Landon was – so I'm, like, alone there and, like, when just they wheel weeping. You out, just weeping. But, no, that was my thought. I thought that I was already, like, priming myself to have an experience where I stayed awake during the anesthesia because I had thought about it so much. And I was, like, what if my brain – and then I was, like, my brain is so powerful it kept – it tried to keep a baby alive. It's definitely going to try to stay awake during surgery. So I just like was having a panic attack before. And I'm like, why does this kick in? And then it was lights out.
I mean, yeah.
I think he even mentioned something about the anesthesiologist said something about me being anxious or like looking nervous or something. And that was the last thing I remember. And he's like, this will help or
you
something.
Look nervous.
Yeah, it was like that. It must have been.
And you were only under for what, 20 minutes?
I think, no, the actual surgery itself takes, they said, between 3 to 4 minutes.
Wow.
I know. But then you're just there for like 3 or 4 hours just to make sure that, you know.
Well, I told you our mutual friend had a DNC and it was terrible. She almost died.
Oh, I'm so glad you didn't tell me that.
Yeah.
Well, you told me a little bit.
I just said
it
didn't go
well.
Why
did Susie tell you that?
What? Right. I know. I'm sorry. But that's just a reality of all surgery.
Right, right.
Is that some of them don't go well.
That's what the doctor said. He's like, it's like crossing the road. I mean, you can do it like, if you're looking both ways. Yeah, it's fine. But, you know, so you never know what's going to happen. You can like trip.
That's the downside of being uncensored is sometimes, you know, I say things.
Oh my
that
God. I thought nothing of it.
I didn't mean to upset you.
I thought nothing of it. And Landon was the one who was like,
you're lucky I didn't
tell
you the details.
Please don't.
I won't.
Okay, good.
Okay. Do you want to talk about the sandals?
Have you seen them?
Yeah. I just yesterday on Instagram.
Did you see? But
Forever
you probably,
21 though, right?
That's where they're selling them?
That was what her picture said in the corner. It was like a repost from Forever 21.
Oh, I went to her website. She's selling them online, and they are well-priced. They're like $34.
Do you think she has a partnership with them?
She might. But I took a picture of one of these shoes because I'm like, okay, jelly shoes, I understand.
Wait,
blah,
I'm
blah,
never
blah.
Wearing these.
Obviously.
Okay.
That's what my other question was. Who is her target? Some of them, there's one called I think it's called the Rita shoe that's like lime and, okay, that lime is kind of
cute. See how it says Forever 21 there?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well,
you
I went to her website.
No,
but
those
look
are
at
not
these
cute.
Sneakers. Would you ever wear these? Okay, are you ready? Yeah. They're called the Trina, and they were inspired after gumballs. Are you ready?
Okay. Oh my God.
That's awful.
I would never wear those, but I
what?
Wouldn't have pictured them like I thought they were gonna be just like kind of like our brain candy lollipop. Like color everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
So I was shocked to
right.
see this.
Well they have them in multiple colors. This is the white one.
She is a weird lady.
You know, I love her.
What do you love about her?
After I watched her interview on The Therapist on Viceland, I was like, God, she's doing the absolute best for somebody in her situation.
What situation?
Like, or somebody who comes from her background and is in the public eye the way she is, who's scrutinized for everything, who gets a million comments when she cuts her hair short. Like, for everything, for how exposed she is, I think she handles it so well. And I think she's always doing wonderful things, you know.
There's nothing wrong with her.
She's got, like, such a
she's
good
nice.
Heart. And she's, like, And I think the reason why she's in touch with so much of this like bubblegummy pop kid stuff is because that was a time in her life that she never really got to explore or never really got to have the freedom to be a kid in, because she was part of a very strict religious upbringing.
Yeah. Hi,
sis. Love your rainbow buttons on your sweater.
I know that I grew up in the exact same tradition as her. And she was Pentecostal. But for sure, I do not have that.
But do you see people who
rainbow buttons?
I'm totally teasing. But do you see people who do hold on to that? And also, you got to kind of like...
Yeah, man.
You got to be on
the show. You're right.
You got... You know, she went straight into this world of pop...
I like her.
Yeah, I love her.
I just don't love jelly sandals for adult women. It's just me.
I think they might not be for adult women.
Oh, okay.
I think they might be
for she's
like
an adult woman, and I guarantee you she's wearing them.
Yeah.
But she's a performer.
Yeah. I'm for them.
But
they're scented, which is what I draw the line at. Did you not know this?
I just realized you had said that. I cannot believe that.
Yeah, that's the part where I'm like, who's smelling your feet?
That's pushing it for me.
That's what I... That was... That... We brushed... We buried
I'm
the
sorry.
Lead.
I'm sorry. I am so sorry. You are right.
The biggest point is that... What the fuck do we need sentence
It's like when people write, why though, on Instagram.
Yeah,
it's like, why though?
Totally that.
Okay, here's what I want to talk about.
Oh, God. Yeah.
If you... you like that style of shoes, like the fruit and the candy and stuff,
I also like jellies.
I like jellies, but just not with the fruit on them.
Yeah, yeah.
But our brain candy merch is far more sophisticated with the same whimsy.
Yes, you're totally, totally, totally right.
So I'm saying by that...
I mean, our pillowcase?
I know.
I keep staring at them.
And if you... I mean, if you love them, you should buy them because... We design them, and it helps our show. And when you do buy them, we ship them with stamps.com, which is so awesome because we get to ship it right from our office here, right from our desk, and you can do it right from your house, wherever you are. And they have postage of every amount, any kind that you need. You just print it right out, slap it on the package, and put it in the mail, and you don't ever have to leave. And it's postcards, envelopes, packages, domestic or international. It's so convenient, easy, reliable. I wish everyone would do it because if you tried it, you would not go back.
Yeah.
They bring all the amazing services of the U.S. Postal Service right to your fingertips. And we love it because it's easy. And they have a deal. They'll send you a digital scale, which automatically calculates your exact postage. And if you want to try the convenience service right now, you can too. Enjoy the service with a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus postage and a digital scale. Go to stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in brain candy. Stamps.com, enter brain candy. At least go for the scale, etc.
And I was going to say they have to buy the your tank top because I wore that the other day.
Big reactions.
Big hit.
Big hit.
I mean, every time I wear that out, you will get... Oh, like so many high fives.
That's what happened to us. We wore them when we went to do trapeze.
Oh, that's right.
And you were like high-fiving people on the Santa Monica Pier.
And passing out business cards like braincandypodcast.com, braincandypodcast.com. There you go.
Because people that like grammar and spelling.
Yep, would love us.
Yeah.
Did I tell you that I went to go get my makeup done and the girl who did it was a brain candy brainiac?
Yes.
Out of nowhere.
Who is it?
She was like, the brain candy? Wait, I listened to that. And I was like, oh my God.
Didn't you recognize my angelic voice?
Right. Oh, I think it was when I was feeling not so good.
Yeah.
And so
she was probably like, you seem different on the inside.
Yes. What if she did? What if she was like, you're so much more bubbly? I'd be like, I'll kill you.
Can we talk about how apparently on a strip of road in the Netherlands, mm-hmm. You know how you have rumble strips that tell you like, if you've veered off.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. I do know that.
And they're
got mad at me because I said, what are you, driving by Braille? When he was texting and using one of them and hitting that.
That's terrible. He needs to stop
I know. That's what I said. Landon, stop texting while driving.
Yeah, that's not funny.
Not funny. Okay, but anyways, what do you call them? Rumble strips?
Rumble strips.
That's
the coolest name. That is the actual name for them. I don't know if this is true, but allegedly I read that the actual strips are those weird styrofoam pool floaty
noodles.
Noodles. under the cement.
That makes sense.
It does, but like...
Because also asphalt is poured, so you need something that's going to like... Yeah, that seems like it could, and then it's like bouncy.
Yeah.
Because asphalt has some give to it too.
Yeah, I don't know if it's true, but that's what I heard. Anyways. Somebody somewhere in Netherlands, they were like, you know what? We're going to make this hilarious. And when you drive on the rumble strips...
I've heard this. It plays music? Yes. Tell me what song... What does it play over there?
This particular town is known as the cultural center of whatever, and they have their own language, and it's their own song.
Oh, that's cool.
It's Frisian or something like that. Yeah. It's a weird word that I'd never heard of. And the neighbors are losing their minds because...
That's so great.
Instead of people being like, well, I don't want to drive on there.
They drive
like
right
teenagers up.
Obviously
are only...
they do.
Come but on. The weirdest part of this story is that there's two stretches in California that do it.
I was just going to tell you that, you know, I think it was Honda that did it about 10 years ago as a campaign, like an ad where they were like, oh, we're putting out this stretch of, you know, it was like encouraging road trips.
That does not encourage
and
road
it was
trips.
Like, come with your friends and drive. Da, 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 da. I swear it was Honda that did it.
One of the ones in the U.S. plays the William Tell overture.
That's the one. I think that's it.
That is so dumb.
Yeah.
But I definitely want to drive on it.
Rumbler.
Why do you act like that's not the name of these
because
things?
It's the funniest word. I don't know why. The Rumbler strip?
Just Rumble, not Rumbler. Yeah, and I feel like we should go and try it out.
We should. See? It worked because I just told you that they tried to do it as a destination. And you just said, we should go there.
Listen, I do feel bad for those neighbors, though. They're going to take it out of the Dutch
area.
They
totally are.
Because they said the neighbors are used to loud noises because they live near an airbase, which these guys can't catch a break. But they said at least that stops at 5 p.m. This is all night, all day. They can't even sit on their porch.
How loud is it?
Evidently quite loud.
Dude, that would be so annoying.
Right. We should look
up
this song.
You know what? I was thinking about that at Target. You know how... And any grocery store, anywhere you are now, you have to you put your credit card into the machine.
Yeah.
And then if you don't pull it out, it beeps at you.
Bom, bom, bom.
Could you imagine being a checker now and you have to listen to that? I think that they changed it at Target. So Target's a different tone.
Listen, I don't feel bad for those cashiers because they are doing nothing now.
No joke.
I mean, what are they doing back there?
And then the other day I was.
By the way, if you're a cashier, you're fine.
You're totally fine.
We're killing dead
air here. Not you. Other cashiers.
Not you.
It's the other ones. One woman was ringing up my fruit and she couldn't find the number on it. And I was staring at it on the back. She's like holding it with the wrong direction.
Right.
And I was like, it's 4129 right there. And so I'm like, now I'm telling her the number on the vegetables.
See?
Like I could have just done this myself over there.
But then you get behind people in the self-checkout and you're like, oh, I see why most people need a freaking cashier. You can't even operate this machinery.
And then God forbid you take something out. Like, oh, Landon was ringing things up automatically and I was bagging them. And so I went to just like automatically put it in the bag.
Yeah.
And as soon as I remove it, it says item removed.
I have had it with that.
I've had it. Oh,
what are they thinking with that? We're not trying to steal.
I'm like, I'm trying to bag. And then, and you buy something like taco seasoning. It doesn't register on the scale because it's too light. So it's like, try to put, please bag your item. I'm like, I bagged my item. You're not reading my
item.
It's
like a ghost item.
It is a ghost item.
Yeah. I mean, I get it that they don't want theft, but I do not think that most loss prevention is going to be in the bagging area.
In fact, my desire to steal increases with automatic checkout, and I am not a stealer. In fact, I was in Michael's the other day, mm-hmm. and I wanted to get I needed one piece of leaf, like for a decoration, like for like this little bathroom, display I'm doing. I just needed like one little sprig. And I was like, you can just pull this out of the bush and walk away with it and nobody would ever know. And
absolutely.
Like, I didn't. I bought the whole bush. I could not bring myself to pull the one stem I needed out of there. I was like, I gotta buy it.
That's where you and I are different.
Right. Everybody else would have just been like, I'm taking this fucking stem. I mean.
Where's the rest of it?
What do you
mean? Like, you'll find a place for it? The bush that you don't actually need.
I'll find a place for it. I'll, like, I don't know.
Can't you return it? Just take that sprig off and.
Oh, I could.
I mean.
But then it's the same thing.
That's terrible. We would never do that.
It would be like buying a tagging gun and tagging your clothes and returning them back to the store. And would be crazy.
That is sick. All right. Well, here's what I'm thinking. Because we're being really terrible people now, that they'll let it slide since you revealed the traumas that you've experienced.
Yeah, they will. They'll be like, her mind wasn't in the right place.
She's had some tough times.
Yeah, yeah.
By the way, wait, what was I going to tell you? Some people were saying it was feedback. Oh.
Can't wait for this.
It was actually really nice that the person was saying that they used to struggle in social settings because they have a hard time getting stories out there, slow talker. Mm-hmm. And that then once they heard how slow we talk, how slow we tell stories, that they've been encouraged, like, oh, okay, it's not just me, like, it's okay to tell a story slow.
It is, and also it's mostly your anxiety, and then if you start thinking about how you're telling the story slow, it's only going to delay the story, so you might as well just, like, relax and not even finish sentences, like me.
And then some people are like, yeah, that's why I listen to them at 1.5 speed. Two times
speed. Oh, my aunt had it stuck on 1.5 speed. She's like, I can't listen to you guys. You guys talk way too fast. And I was like, I think there might be something wrong.
Well, I appreciate the feedback all the same. And now I'm paranoid about telling slow stories.
Oh, my God, don't be.
She was being nice about it.
You're going to be one of those people who thinks about how you're telling slow stories and then it's going to mess everything up.
Yeah, I got to get out of my head on that. Anyway, see you next time.
See ya.
Bye. This podcast is brought to you by Wave Podcast Network. Check out all of our shows, including the Brain Candy Podcast, I Don't Get It, Babes and Babies, Coffee Convos, and Let's Talk About It.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.